Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Pretty excited. Jack Wells is not in the house. He's in Les's house, pretty much. So we're here for the big Sore Lip Amaw event that's down on Sardis Lake that's happening, and B&M Poles. Jack Wells, y'all are part of it. So
We are one of the original sponsors of the event, and we were just talking outside just how much bigger it's gotten in the third year.
Yeah,
and you know, I told Les, I hate to break it to you, but I think it's going to be bigger next year and the year after that too. I don't think the growth is going to be stunted for this event.
Well, let's start with, so they actually had, and so you know some of the history. Let's actually talk about big guns. They gave an award to a team that went out, and this year the team went out with Steve Coleman, and they won it. I think they won with the 197. And so it's actually pretty close. There's another team that was right up there too. So I was,
We had a 177 was in second place.
Yeah,
and it was 155, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty close. And the crazy thing was the fish were biting crazy good. And today the fishing was harder, but it just shows you the cream always rises to the top.
It does. I mean, look, a guy like Steve Coleman, I mean, that speaks for itself, right? I mean, he's part of one of the winningest crappie team, in the sport's history. And, he's a phenomenal fisherman.
Yep. So let's, they called the award the Big Gun Award. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what is that? Why is it called Big Guns?
Well, one thing I would tell you, it all started from Les's father, A.E. Smith, a man that I was blessed enough to meet many times early in my career. It's difficult to find, but he was just a tremendous man. He was a strong Christian man, unbelievable fisherman, probably one of the pioneers in trolling. And the big guns that when he said he was bringing out the big guns, these were his big, heavy bamboo poles.
Right.
And he would lay those up there, just like you see folks laying up a Pro Staff trolling rod or a BGJP or something like that. The difference was he had bamboo poles.
Wow.
And he had a certain set. I believe he had a certain set that he used in some circumstances, but when he was, in a big event, he was bringing out the big guns.
Right.
And that's kind of where the name came from.
And what was his? Do you know what the rig was that he used on those?
I don't. The rumor
has it. So, but I thought I heard Les say that he would use a railroad tie.
Yes.
And then have five or six or number of lures on it, right?
Oh yeah.
Big meaning those bamboo poles.
Sure
are
enough.
Pretty stiff.
You betcha. You betcha.
So we go from those stiff bamboo poles, and all of a sudden,
and heavy too.
Heavy. Mm-hmm. And then we go to what we have now for trolling.
That's right.
Right?
We do.
And so you actually have two different trolling ones. You have the Power Troller,
We have several. We've got of course we've got the Power Troller that you just mentioned, which is for heavier weight at a much faster speed.
Right.
Then below that, I would say as far as, strength and weight-wise go, you'd have the Pro Staff Trolling Rod Series, and that's a great series for doing a lot of things, pulling crankbaits, minnows, all of that. Then we had the Caps and Coleman Trolling Rod Series, one that they had designed for us, and it's designed primarily for minnow rigging, so it's got a little bit lighter and more sensitive action to it.
Right.
And then, we've got the original Bucks Graphite Jig Pole Series with the 14 and the 16-foot links that a lot of folks like to use too. So depends on the time of the year when folks want to use it. When the fish are shallow, they like the lighter tip of the BGJP or the Caps and Coleman. Right. When they start getting into the late summer and, crankbait season, that's when the PSTs come into play. The power trolling has typically been more of a fall type of presentation.
Right.
But for Les Smith, it's a four seasons.
It's a four season pole.
So it's a great technique in that you can cover a lot of water, very quickly.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, trolling is still a very viable part of our industry.
And we just talked about trolling tournaments. So in June, they're going to have two trolling tournaments. Now, this may air after that, but there seems to be a trend towards trolling tournaments, at least
I think the trend is due to a couple of things. I think, you know, primarily it is a it's a much more relaxing situation, I think, than using some of the forward facing sonar. I'll also tell you too, you know, a lot of the live scope techniques are pretty taxing physically. Uh-huh. Okay, where you're right. You know, you're hunched over and you're holding out the rod, or right. you're casting and you're looking down and all that. It's kind of a younger person's game in a lot of cases, I think.
Right.
And I think that the average age of a crappie fisherman is, you know, 50 plus.
Right.
I think if you went and looked at the statistics on that, so you know, it still produces a lot of fish. It's a much more relaxing technique, and it's nowhere near as physically taxing. So yeah. I think that's one of the reasons, because of the average age of a crappie fisherman is a little bit higher than a bass fisherman or something like that. I think that's why the technique is still viable.
Right.
So.
And you catch a lot of fish. It's a good time. And it's one way to put a lot of fish in the boat. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you know, you wrap them up and you get it going.
That's it.
Yeah. So I saw that trend. Is there some other trends that you're seeing? Because obviously you look at your spreadsheets every month and you're like, wow, I didn't know that so many people wanted black diamonds. Why are black diamonds so hot, or why are blue diamonds so hot? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's some trends that you see happening?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, you know, initially when the forward facing sonar really gained prominence,
right?
There were a lot of instances and a lot of video content out there of folks just air mailing 2 and 3 pound crappie into the boat,
right?
Which I never recommend.
That's right.
But you know, so the first one that we came out with that met that technique was called the Stick.
Right.
Okay. Now the Stick is actually was the name of a pole we had 25, 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was so stiff, it was called the Stick.
Right.
But I think after that, people started realizing, I don't know that I want to, you know, start boat flipping, you know, 2-3 pound crappie into the boat.
Right.
I think another thing too was that to make a pole that'll do that, it's heavy.
Right.
All right. So I think we started seeing people want to go a little bit lighter.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of where you see the black diamonds and the blue diamonds. They're long poles, obviously.
Right.
And of course they keep getting longer.
Uh-huh.
But you know, they're much lighter and they're easier to handle. They're very well balanced, all right. that. So the big thing has been the change. And of course then, as I think, you know, that the fish start to feel this pressure.
Right.
I think that's when folks started casting, because now, you know, the 13-foot's just not enough. Now the 14-foot, it's not enough.
Right.
And you need a 16, then you need an 18. Well, now we're doing 20s and 25s.
Right.
In some cases. You know, the ambush pole with Steve Coleman is a 25-foot pole. And so, you know, I think we've kind of seen that new technology evolve as we've gone, and we're trying to meet that demand too, by providing products that are easier for folks to use to adapt to that technology. So,
yeah. So are you seeing a trend towards more casting rods, you think?
Well, you know, again, when 25 feet is just not enough. We've got to get them further back. So, yeah, I think a lot of those guys have moved over to some casting techniques, too. So.
And then all of a sudden, because I have some, the 75th anniversary rod, mm-hmm. you came out with that.
Yep.
And then you were scratching your head one day and you said, maybe we should have John make us a rod, right?
Yeah.
Ask John to do that? Was that your deal?
Well, it is something that that I approached him with, and we were actually at ICAST a couple of years ago,
right?
And I said, look, let's just make a little time, and so we walked the floor and. He literally went and picked every single component for this rod, the reel seat.
Right.
That's what he wants. He wants this guide.
Yeah.
Okay. So he picked every component for it, and we started building it, and then we got the action right on it. It's a unique action. It's not one that we have anywhere else in the assortment with the stiffer backbone.
Right.
And the little bit faster tip.
Uh-huh.
We've also got a diagonal wrap of carbon around the blank to kind of give it that added strength and balance. So,
right.
But it, look, I used it all day today. It is a, you know, it is a great product.
Talk
it,
about
I told him, I told him out there when we were eating, I'm like, man, you design a heck of a rod. You know that?
And he's right.
I love that rod. So
I happen to know the reason behind the color scheme on it. Do you?
What's the, well, no, I don't.
Okay. Well, he said that he was
he did black and gold.
Yeah, he said he was a LSU fan, you know, kind of a diehard. But then he said, you know what? I'm really a big Saints fan. And so it's the Saints color. So okay. I actually knew something about look at this. If I do enough podcast shows with your
people. We had decided on the color of the blank. Uh-huh. And the first set of samples I made them all had black wraps on the blank.
Right.
Oh, what would you think if we made these a gold color? I'm like, John, we can do whatever you want to do at this point. So
that's it.
That's it.
He's a big Saints fan. So you learned something today.
I did.
So that's good. Talk about the reel that comes with that, because when I talked to you, I was like, yeah, I need the rod. And you said, no, you need the combo.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you got to have the combo. This is the reel for you. So tell us why was that reel for me?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that John and I picked out that reel one was the quality of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We were looking for a high quality reel, but we wanted to keep it somewhat affordable. So it's a 4+1 ball bearing reel.
Right.
It's very smooth.
Super smooth.
And it's and you know, he likes a size 2000 reel, and that's what we put on it. So we've been very happy with the reel. You know, it's a different maker than we've used in past years, and we've been very happy.
Oh, that's very good.
Mm.
Yeah, John was very happy with it today. Yeah. He did a podcast show. He's talking all about it, and so it was one of those things where everything to what he wanted after trial and tribulations that it came to be on the thing. So besides John's rod, who did you have? Who's the one person that helped you build a rod that might have been more picky than John about his rod? You can't tell me Steve Coleman wasn't the picky. Really?
Well, I mean, look.
Sam Heaton? Sam Heaton picky?
No. Well, look, Steve Coleman can make anything work.
You
can send him out there with a willow branch, and he's going to find a way to catch fish. I would tell you probably the toughest critic I have on our pro staff that plays a big part in our development is Kent Driscoll.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, obviously Kent's a fantastic fisherman and has been doing it a long time. But you know, the one thing I always know I'm going to get from Kent's the truth.
Right.
Whether I want to hear it or not.
Right.
And so luckily, you know, I would tell you we've got about a 90% success rate, but there have been times it's like, you need to toss that.
Toss that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy. Well, that's good. Tell us if you had to pick your favorite rod, what rod would it be? Out of all the rods you have, what rod would it be? Because it's your favorite time of year to fish, or it's because it's the one that you have the best memories with, or what would that one rod be?
Well, you know, I love them all, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one, it's one that's probably a little more obscure, not as well known, but it is it is our Float and Fly Crappie Special.
Oh, really?
That Jim Duckworth years ago helped me design. It's got a weighted handle to it.
Yeah,
I think the reason I'm partial to that rod is because, you know, when my children were young, we used to do a lot of camping. And, you know, I would always take those, and it would cast a country mile from the bank.
Right.
You know, because we did a lot of bank fishing when we were camping. Uh-huh. And you know, it's just it was the rod that I always took during those days. You know, the kids could handle it. 7'11" pole, but it's very light. And even they could cast it at young ages. But you know, like I said, it's not one of our more well-known items, but it is definitely, you know, one of my favorites.
Okay, let's visit about Sam Heaton rods.
Okay.
Because Sam Heaton rods, it's being regenerated as a trolling rod now, a trolling planer rod. The Salt Series. Some of these guys are all of a sudden it's like, I'm like seeing it, and they're like, I'm using it. And I'm like, golly, that's such a nice rod.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's balanced well, it's built well, it's like high grade cork, and it's wrapped. I mean, it's like, you're using it just for planer board fishing. It seems a little overkill.
It does
for that, but it's such, like, how in the world did B&M get connected with Sam Heaton to start with?
Well, that story goes back a little bit further than me. Sam dealt with Buck back in the day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think Sam's been with us since probably the early to mid 90s.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And, but, you know, Sam was a guide over on Weiss Lake. Uh-huh. And he did a lot of pro staff work, I think, at the time for our rep agency, which is Duncan Lewis out of Birmingham, Alabama. And I think they just kind of introduced Buck and Sam together. And look, I mean, that's about two peas in a pod right there now. at the time, I don't know that there was an IM6 graphite crappie rod on the market.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure, but I don't think there was. So I think this one was kind of one of the first ones.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you right now, to this day, it's probably our second biggest selling series.
Really?
Yeah. Behind the Bucks Graphite Jigpole series.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. He's such a great guy.
Oh,
like when I talked to him, like you said, hey, you got to meet him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
And I cast. And he says, well, let me tell you a story.
Oh, yeah. He's got some great stories. And, you know, of course, he's a Vietnam veteran and has seen a lot in his life. But, you know, Sam's one of those guys, when he walks into a room, he owns it.
Yeah.
The minute he starts talking, he owns that room. There are very few people you come across in life that have that trait, but he's one of them.
That's right. That takes us up to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. So if you're looking to buy a lure to catch anything from crappie to catfish to, I don't know, walleye, stripers, white bass, everything we got swimming on Beaver Lake, for sure. You can check them out at picolures.com. The Fishing Guide Podcast is also sponsored by B&M Poles. Of course, they have a complete line of rods for crappie fishing. They have so many crappie fishing rods, it's insane. You have to check those out. But they also have rods for catfishing. They got rods for trout fishing, saltwater, you name it. They got a rod that you can go fishing with and catch fish with. So make sure you check their rods out and all their products at bnmpoles.com. Jack, if they want to find out more about B&M Poles, where would they go?
Go to our website, www.bnmpoles.com.
Okay, there you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.
Thank you, Brad.